Beep beep boop bop. Still working on an intro. What's up, y'all? This is Ryan.
And this is Chris, and this is around
Around
the
AFC
AFC
West.
West.
Oh, man, we almost
We'll
got
work
it.
on that, guys.
We gotta work on it.
We
What's
only
up, y'all?
practiced it three times.
And that was the third time. Oh man,
Yeah.
episode one around the AFC West, in-depth coverage of the Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. What's going on, man?
Oh, you know, getting ready for this big weekend of all the teams in the AFC West playing each other.
Dude, it's going to be an AFC West showdown, man. We got the Chiefs and Chargers lined up, little Sunday night football. We got the Raiders and Broncos at a 3:05 kickoff. Is this the weekend that kind of lays out who finishes where in the AFC West?
I think so. I think Sunday night's going to be, you know, probably who takes first. I mean, it's going to be hard for the Chargers. They're going to have to get healthy. And then the other game on the slate, the Raiders and Broncos, might be fighting for who goes last in the division.
Yeah, dude, there's no doubt about that, man. It has been a wild, wild year so far in the AFC West. I, you know, going into this year, Chris, I would have thought the gap between the Kansas City Chiefs and the rest of the division would have drastically been destroyed. But man, one might even argue that the gap's gotten even greater.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the year, they were calling it the Wild Wild West, right? But instead, it's the Wild Wild East out there in the AFC East, where isn't all the teams in the playoffs right now?
Yeah, and in the NFC East with the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Washington Commanders, and the New York Giants. Actually, if you look at it, I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong on this, but I think as it sits, all four teams in the East in both conferences are slated to be in the playoffs if they were to end today.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll iron itself out here in a few games, but that's crazy. I mean, because last year, NFC West was insane. The AFC West had almost three teams in the playoffs, and now it's just the Chiefs kind of hovering over about everybody right now.
Yeah, it really is, man. It's been wild to see Buffalo lose back-to-back games. The Eagles finally just dropped their first game, interestingly enough, to the Washington Commanders. But hey, this isn't about the East, cuz this is about how the West is won. So let's
talk
dive
about
right
it.
In, dude. Let's dive right in. All right. So as we talked about on our practice run, we typically like to do a little top-down approach. So we're going to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming off of a Sunday day game win against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 27-17. Patrick Mahomes throwing for four touchdown passes. Couple of the Chiefs wide receivers finding their first trip to the end zone with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, as well as the new homie on the block, Kadarius Toney. Cuz, give me some thoughts on the game.
MVS overdue, but the new kid though. We'll talk about new kid on the block. That guy came out on fire, and it doesn't hurt that, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes out there slinging it with his eyes closed and left-handed or whatever, but then you got Andy Reid dialing it up, so it looks like a perfect fit.
Dude, doesn't it? Yeah, so Kadarius Toney comes out, four catches, 57 yards, averaging 14.2 yards per catch, and a touchdown where he was playing the what was that game where you used to like do the little hop, jump, and skip where they had all the blocks?
Hopscotch, right?
Little hopscotch. Yeah, he hopscotched his way into the end zone, dude. So looked and he looked great on punt returns. I was about to get a hemorrhoid with watching Sky Moore taking those, lost two punts already this year. Kadarius looked like he was sure-handed, sure-footed, was willing to dive on a ball even when it looked like it was kind of getting into a hairy situation there back on the 5-yard line. Scooted it up a couple yards. We easily could have been pinned. Did you remember that play?
I do. Yeah, some of them looks like he's trying to be a little hero out there, but it might pay off here soon. But it can also kind of bite you in the butt too. So we'll see. Dayton might have a little words with him come this next week, especially in a big AFC West matchup.
Yeah, no doubt. For those of you that don't know, Dave Tobe is the special teams coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, probably and arguably one of the best D coordinator special teams coordinators in the league. He's been a staple on Andy Reid's staff. But not just the special teams looking to improve, cuz what about this defense? Got a couple stats to throw at you. Defenses look really good. Check this out. 9 sacks in the last 2 games, 14 sacks in the last 3. Chris, we have had 13 sacks in the first 6 games and 14 in the last 3. Where is this coming from?
that young speed out there. I think it starts with those linebackers, number 32, Nick Bolton, and number 50, Willie Gay. Them guys are from sideline to sideline, especially 32, man. He kind of reminds me of a young man DJ. And when I say DJ, I mean Derek Johnson from the Longhorn Texans, longtime chief, out there laying the hits for many years.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's been helpful getting Trent McDuffie back. Trent McDuffie's the Kansas City Chiefs first round pick as the cornerback. Phenomenal. He actually took him 3 games before he allowed his first reception. So it looked like it was very helpful for Kansas City to get this back. The only gap I'm seeing in Kansas City game right now is most recently their turnovers. Chris, they had lost 3 turnovers to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in the previous week, they also had another 3 turnovers. So that's 6 turnovers in the last 2 games. A little unprecedented, but is this a cause for concern? Or do you think this is just kind of some goofy stuff happening here?
I think a little bit of it's matchups. I mean, you look at the Chiefs, man, they're a finesse team. They're pretty. They don't want to get as dirty as some teams. And you talk about the Tennessee Titans, man. They lay hits. They play hard. They get gritty in there. And last week, you saw that safety. I forget his name. You might correct me. Number 5 out there laying licks on people. Put Juju down. Then a couple plays later, kind of knocked MVS a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they're gritty, gritty defense also.
What'd you think
I think the Chiefs just have a hard time with them.
Speaking of that Juju hit, ref picks up the flag. I don't – because I'm not going to sit here and act like I know everything in the world about football, but that looked about as dirty of a hit as I have seen. I'm not going to say dirty, but I don't know that warranted picking the flag up.
No, especially when you see the Justin Herbert – play later that night where, you know, he's a runner. He kind of gets hit by another player, kind of moves his body a little bit. And the other guy's already kind of trying to hit him at that point. And then that guy gets kicked out of the game. So
yeah, ejected.
Yeah. It kind of seems like that rule is more for quarterbacks, which almost everything is these days. I mean, we saw at the beginning of the year where Tom Brady and Derek Carr were barely getting sacked and penalties are being called. So I think they're just kind of trying to save the quarterback. I mean, it's a quarterback league. I mean, they call it the MVP, but it's really just who's the best quarterback.
Yeah.
It's definitely a quarterback league, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, not just talking about that. Let me ask you about, dude, Harrison Butker, man. What's, do you think he's just got a lingering ankle issue? Another missed extra point. He's missed a couple on the year. He's also dropped a couple surefire field goals. I'm good with Butker. He's a ride or die. That, you know, not only is he an LIV Super Bowl champ, but he's a phenomenal kicker. But are you thinking this is just kind of a lingering ankle issue? You know, what's or are we just paying too much mind to a kicker?
Maybe it's an ankle. I mean, I think I did see a couple of weeks ago he said he wasn't 100%, but
yeah.
I mean, I would like to go back and like look at all the stats on him. It almost seems like if it's within 30 yards, he'll miss those. But especially extra points. I mean, I don't know how many times I'll be watching the game and my wife will be like, he's making me nervous. I'm like, he hasn't even kicked it yet. But, you know, he'll hit a 60-yarder, but an extra point, he's probably just like, you know, it's all good. You know, our offense will score 30, or I hope so, but.
Yeah, well, was it the Arizona game? He injured his ankle and then did a one-step bomb and hit it from 59.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's got too much leg. Maybe that's his problem. Maybe he just needs to take a little bit off, kind of like golf, you know? You don't want to just crush it every time. So maybe he's just kind of hooking it.
Yeah. Well, it's luckily it hasn't gotten to the point where it's cost the Chiefs any games, but it certainly has made them interesting. So
we'll see come playoff time, because that's the kind of plays that really get you there.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about it. All right. So Kansas City Chiefs, they currently sit at 7-2. Next week, they move to LA for a little Sunday night football, little divisional challenge. I would ask you what your thoughts are on the score and how that's going to play out. But luckily for us this week, we have each divisional opponent playing each other. So I don't want to spoil the next topic, which is the LA Chargers. All right, cuz. So the Chargers sitting at 5-4. They just lost a heartbreaker to the 49ers, 22-16 on the final drive. Walk me through your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, that's another one I watched. I watched three out of the four, and I caught the Broncos game towards the end, but they're banged up. I mean, you can see it, man. Justin Herbert's been, yeah, I think he's starting to get healthy again. He's down all these receivers, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen hasn't played since, what, week one, if that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he had a few snaps in week seven, and they immediately took him right back out, and then they went into the bye and said that he had reactivated a hamstring injury. So, yeah, really, I mean, he hasn't played a full game since week one.
And Keenan Allen's been kind of injury prone almost every year too. So they might need to kind of move on from him next year. I mean, do what the Chiefs are doing with Mahomes, man. Get Herbert some weapons. He's got Eckler, and then he's got a couple guys that'll make plays like Palmer and they're tied in there. Is that Everett maybe?
Yeah, Gerald Everett, which, I mean, speaking of Everett, Everett's also just got banged up. They did re-sign Mike Williams to a contract extension. You're right, they do have Austin Eckler. Yeah, I think Gerald Everett went out with an injury in this past game, and now he's day-to-day, and they say he's questionable up for this week against the Chargers, but or against the Chiefs, because I want to highlight the point. I know you got this in front of you as well, but I just found this to be unreal. Chargers in main key injuries this year. Okay, here we go. Keenan Allen, hamstring, hasn't, as you mentioned, hasn't really played since week one. Their starting left tackle, stud, Rashawn Slater, he bicep injury, out for the year. Mike Williams hasn't played for weeks, might get back this week, but again, still out with a high ankle sprain. Joshua Kelly, their stud backup running back. This guy hasn't played in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks with a knee injury. Joey Bosa, groin injury. He's probably not even coming back for the next couple of weeks and hasn't played since week four. This past week, they just lost two of their starting defensive tackles, which they only had five on the roster because they also cut Jerry Tillery, who was a first round pick in 2019. So they just lost three defensive tackles in the last week, Otito Obagnia and Christian Covington, torn pec, ruptured patella tendon. They're both out for the year. Gerald Everett just got hurt and he's day to day. JC Jackson, knee injury. He's on IR. He's done for the year. Cause I feel like I just named half the LA Chargers roster, but cause I thought about this before we started recording I mean, I know some of this stuff happens, but I mean, and then you go back, what, a year or two ago, Tyrod Taylor gets stabbed in the lung. And that's where we see the emergence of Justin Herbert. Dude, is this a strength and conditioning? And is this an issue with some of the staff members there just not getting these guys right? Or what is going on in LA?
I'm dumbfounded by it. I don't understand. And this has been year after year after year. At least this is happening like in the middle of the season, because how many years was it before Herbert came in that they lost two or three guys before the season even started?
Yep.
I mean, you would think that they are cursed by the football gods. The owner did something. The city did something. Then they try to move cities. And still, it's never ending. I don't get it. So you would think it's got to be on the staff there. Maybe being out in L.A., you know, maybe they're doing a little too much partying out there. I don't know. You know, in Kansas City, there's not much to do besides, you know, grab some barbecue and maybe go over to Boulevard. But I have no idea. No idea what's going on with that team. They might be one of the biggest disappointments every year because they are loaded with talent almost every year. And this is going back to Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. I mean, at least they made it to the playoffs a couple times that year or those times. But, man, it just seems like every year they are just dropping like flies. And that was Sunday night. It was just like every play, a player was on the ground. And it was like, what is going on? Maybe you guys need to do some stretches. Eat a banana. I don't know. Some pickle juice like Tyreek Hill used to do on the sidelines. Do something.
Yeah, it's unreal. Every year the Chargers win the offseason. I'll be honest with you, man. This year I did think this was going to be the year that the Chargers had a chance to overtake the Chiefs. You know, there was a lot going on, right? A ton of confusion. You know, obviously Tyreek Hill had left the Chiefs. A lot of Chiefs fans were wondering, you know, what in the world's our offense going to look like? And then you have, you know, the Chargers coming out, getting the likes of re-signing Mike Williams, a healthy Keenan Allen finally coming into the season. We thought JC Jackson being a massive upgrade. They picked up Khalil Mack. You thought that the one aspect of their team that they lacked, which was defense, finally got shored up, right? Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack coming off the edge. You got J.C. Jackson in the back. Derwin James Jr., who's a stud in the backfield, is one of the best defensive backs in the league. You would have thought that this Chargers defense would have shored themselves up. And then you look at the likes of their offense with Herbert, one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett. It just, you look around and these are Pro Bowl names. And the team just can't get it together. You know, last year they finished 9-8. This year they sit at 5-4, about to go up against the Chiefs. If they lose, they go to 5-5. Right now they sit on the hinge of being 51% chance of making the playoffs. Well, Chris, if they lose, they drop exponentially. Most likely on the outside looking in, because as you kind of look at the playoffs as a whole, there's a chance three teams from the East are going to make it in the AFC East, right? I don't know about New England, but I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, Chris, but Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets, I would imagine they're going to make the playoffs. Don't you think?
Yeah, I would say so. And I'd say New England probably drops because Cincy jumps in there. But yeah, I mean, it looks like a one-man race in the AFC West right now, unless something happens with the Chargers, unless, you know, they win the lottery and everybody becomes healthy and they just go on a run here. But unfortunately for them, they're running into the wrong team at the wrong time right now.
Yeah, they really are, especially with the injuries. You know, their only hope is getting Keenan Allen and Mike Williams back and starting to gel on offense. But yeah, I mean, because you also have, what, in the AFC North, I've got Baltimore and Cincinnati both making the playoffs. You know, we both have the Tennessee Titans winning the AFC South, and we both have the Chiefs winning the AFC West. So that really only leaves one spot. Well, again, the Buffalo Bills at the 30 seed, I don't know if that's going to stay. So I'm imagining the Jets will probably take that wild card spot, and the Bengals will probably take that wild card spot. And then there's also the second team from the AFC. So do the Bills take a wild card spot, or do the Dolphins? And, you know, so there's going to be a pretty hot contention, you know, as it sits right now. The Chargers and the Bengals are tied for that last wild card spot, and the Bengals have the upper hand right now. So, it's going to be interesting to see. But now we can ask Chris. So the Lightning Bolts are taking on the Chiefs Sunday Night Football. What's your projection? What do you think is going to happen?
I want to say it's going to be close, but it seems like the Chargers play the Chiefs close at Arrowhead, but. When the Chiefs go to LA, it seems like it's a little bit more of a one team kind of game. I'd imagine it's going to be like a 30-23 game. I'll say the Chiefs win by 7, but probably up by more than that. And Chargers kind of, you know, rally at the end, like most games we watch. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs on that one. I think I read or heard a stat where Mahomes is, I could be wrong, so we might need to Google this. So, you know, fact checkers, don't hit me with it, but Mahomes has never lost in November and December.
You know what? I want to say that was true until last year. Let me pull up the schedule real quick. Let's see. Chiefs schedule 2021. It looked like last year, actually, it took the Chiefs overtime to beat the Chargers in LA. And then the LA Chargers took care of the Chiefs in Kansas City. Let's take a look at, old November and December. Let's see. Chiefs beat the Giants. Chiefs beat the Packers. Chiefs beat the Raiders. Chiefs beat the Cowboys. So that took care of November. Chiefs beat the Broncos. Chiefs beat the Raiders. Chiefs beat the Chargers in overtime. Chiefs beat the Steelers. So, no, they were perfect last year. 8-0 last year in November and December. So I'll until I hear otherwise, I'm going to agree with that. My last comment on the Chargers. So, or last two. First of all, I agree that they need to move on from Keenan Allen. I think his age and his injury proneness is really kind of there. I'll tell you this. Last year, it looks like he goes into his last year of his contract. Looks like he's a free agent, unrestricted free agent in 2025, and he's getting paid $13.5 million last year, $43 million guaranteed. So I've got a feeling just for everything that they've done, he's done for that organization, they're going to ride off that last year with him. But I agree. I got the Kansas City Chiefs beating the LA Chargers. I've got this actually to be a close game. I've got them winning 31-28. Butker hitting that field goal. You know what? He might even miss an extra point again. So maybe 30-28. But We'll see how it goes. So, all right, cool. So next team on the docket, Chris, we have the Denver Broncos. So last week, Broncos lose 17-10 to the Titans. They're winning a lot of that game. And then at the end, Russell Wilson throws a game-ending interception on the final drive. What, dude, what's up with the Broncos, man? This was kind of their year. What do you think?
You would think so with that defense, man. That's a stud defense. But that offense, it's starting to get to the point where, you know, their coach is getting a little rumored to be out of there week by week. You know, lose one more and it might be there. Then they won that one and overseas there against Jacksonville, and I think it kind of saved his job. But, man, is it something with Russell Wilson? Did Pete Carroll know something, and that's why he, you know, told him to kick rocks? Because it did not look pretty. I jumped on that game right after the Chiefs, and right before he threw that interception, he had fumbled. It was like a strip fumble where the defense didn't come around the corner and hit the ball out. So it was almost game over, and then they got lucky, and Mike Vrabel was on the other sideline, like, losing his shit, because it was clearly recovered by Tennessee, which I kind of jumped in right then, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of it, but he pretty much lost that game twice on one drive, and they were in scoring position. So that offense, I think they're ranked, what, last in scoring right now? So it's a defensive team. That's all I'm going to say. That offense is just – they're terrible.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see. I was actually a little perplexed to see how bad the Broncos would be. Now, I think at the beginning of the year, you and I had picked not only Kansas City to win the division, I think we had Chargers next, and then I think – did we have Raiders Broncos or did we have Broncos Raiders?
We might have flip flopped on that one, because I mean, at the beginning of the year, it looked like they're all going to be, you know, 8+ win teams.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
the losses that they had were probably going to come from each other. I mean,
yeah. It's really kind of, it's mind blowing. And then I had read, now these statistics I'm about to hit you with were accurate as of, I think it was week 8 or week 9. But I had 5 odd stats on the Denver Broncos this year. Lowest scoring team in the league, worst third quarter team in the league. Raiders and Broncos have tied for the most field goal attempts than anyone else as of week 8. They're on pace to have one of the worst 5 red zone offenses in the last decade. And this team has more penalties than any other team in the league. This has got to be coaching.
Can't win games that way.
No, this has got to be coaching. You can't be that bad in that many aspects of the game and not have it played. Dude, they have Jerry Jeudy. They have Cortland Sutton. They used to have Noah Fant. Made that trade to get Russell Wilson. Javonte Williams. Now, granted, he got hurt. Melvin Ingram. Oh, he ex-chief there. Oh, my gosh. What's it? Melvin Gordon. Gordon. Yeah, Melvin Gordon. So they had some pieces in play that I thought would at least, you know, Tim Patrick, granted, he got hurt. I really thought they had some pieces in play that they were at least going to be a wild card team. Like, their ceiling could be whatever it is. You know, the old Russell Wilson could scramble, make miraculous throws, could connect with anybody. You know, he was good. And now they did. They just look dysfunctional in the defense. Now they don't have Bradley Chubb. You know, Von Miller obviously left for Buffalo. Well, I mean, he went to the Rams last year being traded, then went to Buffalo. So their pass rushing is now kind of a little absent. They've got one of the best cornerbacks in the league. They have pretty decent linebackers, a phenomenal kicker in Brandon McManus. I don't know, man. I don't know. Now, they're lackluster on draft picks. They finally just got one back by trading Bradley Chubb to the Miami Dolphins. Chris, is this? Walk me through it, man. If you're the owner, or the general manager of the Denver Broncos, what do you do? Do you just ride this big contract out with Russell? Do you bail on him? Do you ride it out 1 or 2 years and then just eat a whole bunch of dead money in a year or two once you see what you get? Like, what do you do here?
I think if I'm the owner right now, I think I'll go on vacation until next year. I don't know what else. I mean, I think once Russell's contract gets a little bit more friendly where you can cut him, I think I'd be so pissed right now. I'd be like, get out. Especially with all the rumors with him where he had to have his own office and he wasn't part of the team. And it's almost like, I'm better than you guys. With me living here in Denver, you know, I hear all the noise from all the fans. And the only time I hear that they're happy is when they've won the what, 2-3 games that they've won, and it's just like, oh, just give them some time, and then it's they're done too. I mean, and you know the owner, they'll start hearing that noise from the fans, and he's going to be out. There's no way he's going to be sticking around. And he might be out the same time the coach will be. I mean, because you know how it is. You know, it's a production kind of a job here. So if you're sucking, then – and it starts with the coach and the quarterback. Look at all the great teams right now.
Yep.
Especially with the Chiefs in the division. You know, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You know, they just keep moving along.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it starts. So
I mean, Pete Carroll's making it click with Geno Smith. You know, like the Seattle Seahawks are like it. They got a haul for Russell Wilson. All right. So here's the stats, because Russell Wilson signed a 5-year contract for $245 million. 165 of that is guaranteed. Okay. You said cut him when it becomes more team friendly. Here you go, Chris. This year, cap number all overall, $17 million. Next year, $22 million. Next year, $35 million. Next year, $55 million. Next year, $58 million. And then 53, and then 54. Chris, this is accounting for over 13 to 15% of the overall number. Now, well, obviously the cap will go up each year. You know, if they cut him this year, let's see, dead money and cap savings. Man, if I'm reading this right, his base salary next year, $8 million. His bonus, $14 million. Guaranteed salary, another $8 million. Cap number overall, $22 million. That makes up 9.2% of the cap. His dead money after cap savings, if they were to cut him pre-June, $107 million. Because he has a $165 million guaranteed contract. That's an 85 overall after this year. It'd be an $85 million dead cap hit. So you wouldn't even save it. Dude. That's not even, they can't cut him for the next year. And then in 2024, his base salary jumps from $8 million to $17 million. And then his base salary the next year jumps from $17 million to $37 million. This is unreal. He has signed a massive contract.
They're not going to be able to trade him. So I take back that going on vacation until next year, maybe go on vacation for the next, you know, half the decade here. Yeah. Just go. Yeah, just don't tell anywhere you're at. Just go, because it's not going to be good for you, or the next Russell team that we're going to talk about. Yeah. I mean, just hopefully, you know. I have no answers for him. I'm no GM or anything. But as a Chiefs fan, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things where you just sit back and you're like, man, I remember those days, and it sucks. But you dug your grave.
The Brody Croyle, the Tyler Thigpen, the Matt Castle, the glory days for the Chiefs. All right. So the Kansas City Chiefs said it having a 99% chance of getting into the playoffs. The Chargers have a 51% chance of getting into the playoffs. Cuz, what do you think the Denver Broncos chance of making it to the playoffs is at this point?
I'll say 3 for Russell Wilson's number, 3%.
Yeah, nailed it. 4%. Yep.
There you
sits
go.
It, yeah. Sits at 4%, and the hinge on it really breaks if they end up losing this week. They play the Raiders divisional game. It's going to be a 3:05 kickoff. I guess we'll see how this rolls. It's certainly going to be interesting nonetheless. So that leads us to our transition over to the Raiders. All right, dude, talk about another franchise that went absolutely sideways that I still can't explain. Going into this year, I really thought they were going to contend as well. So let's talk about them a little bit. Raiders sit currently as the worst team in the division, 2-7. Second, they're the second worst team in the entire AFC next to the Texans, who have a tie. That's the only reason they are a little bit worse. They recently lost 25-20 to Jeff Fisher, old Titan there, old Ram. Jeff Saturday beat him on a Sunday, 25-20, and the Raiders lost at home. What are your thoughts here?
That's a game I end up watching that one. Especially do a little research for the podcast, you know, see what's going on, and they were winning that one. I don't know. It's a one-man show out there, kind of like Denver's defense. That's their one man. But, man, Davante Adams is a stud, and you can see it in his face. There was one play where he caught the ball, and he shook everyone on the field, even his own coach. And then it got called back because of a stupid – I think it was a holding or a block in the back penalty. You just see it on his face. He went straight to the sideline, sat down, and didn't come back out for the next two plays. And it was just like, the dude's done. It's that meme, you know, that meme with Wolverine where he's, you know, with the pitcher. I bet him and Aaron Rodgers are both just like, man, I miss my ex right now. And it's, I think it's just kind of he said it's kind of like no one's buying in. And it might start with that coach right there. Cause we saw it with the last thing we talked about with the Broncos. He was 6-0 and then just shit the bed. So he might be out too. So we might need to get a bet to see who's going to be out first, the Broncos coach or the Raiders coach, because they might be out at the same time. They both, neither one of them look good. Doesn't look like they have a grasp for their team. But their problem is defense too. I mean, their defense is pretty bad besides Max Crosby, who's a stud out there. That dude, I would love to have him on my team. That dude's just a motor all day. He wrecks games. But man, that's just another thing. It's just drop passes, penalty after penalty when I was watching that game. But yeah, it's a Davante Adams show. And then, yeah, he's got a guy that can kind of throw the ball to him. But yeah, after watching him cry this last weekend,
yeah,
I feel
bad. I was going to ask you
him.
about that. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's you can tell this is wearing
just a
on
bad
him.
Thing. Yeah, it's just, but man, for a guy that talks about how good he is and how good they're going to be at the beginning of the year, maybe just hush up a little bit before the season starts, or you won't be, you know, set at, you know, crying on the presser there. But it's just another disappointing team. I mean, they got talent all over the field. I mean, Darren Waller can't stay healthy. So yeah, he's getting older too. Unfortunately for him. So he might be out the door here soon. And then they got a few injuries, but man, they, very disappointing, because that was a team I was a little bit nervous for, you know, because they always got, you know, because the hatred between the Chiefs and the Raiders, you know, they kind of go back and forth, play each other a little tough. And I was like, man, Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill, Raiders get Davante Adams. That might be the key right there, but it doesn't look that way right now.
Well, not just that, but not only do they get Davante Adams, but you're staring down the barrel of Darren Waller, one of the top five best tight ends in the league, arguably top three best tight ends in the league. You got Hunter Renfrow, you got Josh Jacobs, who is on pace to have his best season ever.
Contract year.
Yeah, well, not even. Did you see that the Raiders declined his fifth-year contract? So he's, yeah, they declined it before the start of the year. Here, I'm going to hit you with a couple stats real quick, cuz. All right, so listen to this. So the Raiders currently sit as the 14th best team as points scored, okay? So pretty middle of the pack, not too bad, right? But they are 28th in points allowed. That's fourth worst in the entire NFL. So they're giving up a ton of points. But let's listen to this. Let's break down kind of where this is coming from. Darren Waller is on pace to have his worst season since 2018. When he didn't even really play. Hunter Renfrow is on pace for his worst season ever in his career. And the only bright spot on that team, aside from Davante Adams, who is still on pace to be Davante Adams, he's got 8 touchdown passes. He's going to go well beyond 1,000 receiving yards this year. He's going to get his. Josh Jacobs, what a bright spot on the team. On pace to have his best season of his career. And as you said, contract year. if you're Josh Jacobs, you just got all the leverage in the world against the Raiders, because the Raiders are going to need you, because if they lose you, it's going to be real difficult to replace that. Now, I know running backs are a dime a dozen, but at a product at a rate that Josh Jacobs is producing, he's one of the top three best running backs in the league right now, statistic wise. So it's not that you're just going to pick that right up off the street. Now, granted, they do have a decent draft pick this year because they're playing so hard. But that kind of leads me into my next thing, dude. This team cannot draft. Have you seen, I don't know if you have the notes, dude, have you seen all the issues that they've had with their drafting over the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at them right now. It's almost as long of a list as the Chargers injury list. And it's crazy. It's just going back 3 years right there. Just, yeah. Man, maybe get Scott Pioli out there. You know, he'll burn all your money out, but you know, at least he'll draft somebody for you.
Yeah, no doubt. So for all of you that don't know, the Raiders have done the following. In 2019, they had 2 first-round picks, Jonathan Abram and Colin Farrell. They've both already been cut. Josh Jacobs, who they didn't draft in the first round, but they did draft, they declined his fifth-year option, so he'll be a free agent after this year. In 2020, they had 2 first-round picks, Damon Arnett and Henry Ruggs. Both of them have been cut. And then last year, Alex Leatherwood, he's now been cut. So dude, over the last 3 years, now going on four, all of their mainstream talent continues to get cut from this team. Is this a general managing issue along with the head coaching issue? Like, who's right? Old bull haircut, you know, Mark Davis. What is going on?
Yeah, I think it starts at the top, because you wouldn't see Al Davis. Yeah, he just wanted to win. This guy kind of looks like he sits up there with his grin, like he doesn't really care as much. But I don't know. He might. But yeah, man, the turnover is just constant with this team also. I mean, they're constantly, you know, new coach. They can't get anything right. They think if they, you know, roll out to Vegas, things are going to change. But, you know, I saw the funniest thing the other day. A meme said that's the only house in Vegas that loses. And it's true. I mean, man, it's rough. But well, it's just another disappointing team that, you know, kind of spent a lot to try to catch up to the Chiefs, and it just isn't working out for them either. So the Raiders and Broncos might be fighting for last place for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, depending on when Andy Reid retires. Then, you know, Travis Kelce's going to be, you know, going off to the sunset soon. And then Patrick Mahomes is going to have to do what Tom Brady did and just get a couple new guys here and there and fight with these teams. But it's looking better for the Chiefs the way these teams are drafting and picking up people and kind of spinning their future, but nothing's really paying off for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, here in about 2 or 3 years, the Chargers are going to be in some interesting positions in cap, and as well as the Broncos, as the years go on, the Russell Wilson's contracts, if he keeps playing like that, they're going to have to renegotiate that. But you know, for the Raiders, dude, they're on the brink of having to blow this thing up and really having to figure this out. Now, their best luck would be Darren Waller comes back and is healthy and, you know, still lights out. Davante Adams stays good. You know, if they can re-sign Josh Jacobs, that'd be nice. And then they need to shore up this defense. You're not going to go anywhere with the 28th best defense in the NFL. You are if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you got Patrick Mahomes, but unfortunately you got Derek Carr. He's suitable, but I mean, he's got a pro football focus grade that's gone down this year, down into the 70s. He currently sits middle of the pack as a quarterback. You know, we'll see what kind of happens there. All right, cuz we got 1 minute left on the podcast, so let me hit you with the fastest four questions in sports. First of all, who is the winner of the AFC West at the end of the year?
Kansas City.
All right. Are you watching Yellowstone?
We started it, so we're about 4 episodes in, and pretty much like 100 people's already died, and so much chaos has happened. So, you know, you got to prepare yourself for that one, man.
All right. I like it. Hey, who is the, if all the Ninja Turtles fought, who would be the winner?
Ooh, tie, four-way tie.
All right. Last but not least, of all the Avengers, which one is going to defeat Kang the Conqueror at the end of this?
This isn't right, but I'm just going to go with my homeboy, Spider-Man, because he's my favorite.
Hey, I like it. All right, cuz. Well, that's going to end episode one. Thank you all for listening. Again, we do not have an intro. Looking for some sponsorship opportunities. So I'll hit you with this little beep, beep, boop, bop.
Bop.